embellished it, and sometimes just made it into flat-out lies. But there was just enough truth that if somebody looked a little bit into it, it sounded pretty good. Here's an example. In 2000, Enron joined with Blockbuster Video. Now, why an energy company would join with an entertainment company, who knows? But they came together, and this two came together and formed a 20-year agreement to introduce on-demand video, much like what we have with Netflix nowadays. And they did this with the prediction that they would have a profit of $110 million a year. Pretty good profit. The only problem was that they shortly found out that it wasn't going to work. They couldn't get the system to engage the way they wanted to. People were not signing up the way that they thought they would. It's kind of like Obamacare. Except they were smart enough and shut this one down. But Blockbuster withdrew and closed and shut down the system. But Enron still showed the $110 million profit on their bottom line. So when they made a presentation to their stockholders, it looked like they were doing good. Guys, that's when people tell you what you want to hear. It's twisting the truth. The truth was, had the system worked, they probably would have been making that or more a year. But the system didn't work. So there was a twist. Maya Angelou says this: there is a world of difference between truth and facts. And facts sometimes can obscure the truth. In our life, we will play and twist with facts to make it fit what we want. We do it all the time. And there's a thin line between twisting the truth and then actually moving into the second area, which is lying. The second way that we play games with the truth is by lying. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this: you belong to your father, speaking to the Pharisees and people that were listening. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of all lies. Lying is such a second nature for most of us. How do these jeans make my butt look? Is this blouse flattering? Hey, babe, I still got it. Let me flex a little bit. We ask these things to each other. And we're not necessarily asking for the truth, are we? There's an interesting study that was done that people who went to a restaurant, they said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to track how honest you are when the waiter comes around. And then they had some follow-up questions. And they did this study, and what they found was that people who lied to their waiter, in other words, when the waiter comes by and says, how's your food? Maybe, you know, your food was a little cold or wasn't done the right way. You know, I asked for the salad dressing on the side and they put it on the salad. You know, all these things that we let just slide, right? The interesting thing is at the end of the survey, they asked them about their tip. And what they found was that people who lie to their waiter give larger tips. So let me just tell you, lying costs you money. And what they found was that they believe that this is because of cognitive dissonance. In other words, holding two concepts that are opposed at the same time and trying to rectify them. George Orwell, he talks about this in his book, 1984. He created a term called doublethink. Doublethink is this: it's the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously, accepting both of them. to tell deliberate lies when it's generally believing in them, and then to forget them immediately after that when it's inconvenient. And then when it becomes necessary again, remembering the original fact that had been cast to oblivion for just as long as you need to, and then deny the existence of that, the whole time denying the fact that you're doing it. Now, it's complicated, right? Don't worry, because it's all made up. Or is it? Or do we really do that? Do we take a reality and create a false reality by lying? And then when it's convenient, remember the reality that we forgot until we are confronted, and then we have to remember our lie. Until you forget about the lie, and then you tell the truth, and then a whole bunch of trouble comes, right? Now, interestingly enough, in 1984, there was an organization that was in charge of controlling this double think. It was called the Ministry of Truth, which was actually a ministry of lying, much in the way that the Ministry of Peace was their war department, and the Ministry of Plenty was their starvation department. It was a complete lie. And that's crazy, but that's how we live our life so many times. There was another study done that when people were asked to meet one another and introduce each other, some were asked to be honest, like actually tell your weight, tell your age, where you went to school. Others were told to lie. Those who maintained relationships after that introduction were surveyed, and what they found was that the people who lied never could be close to that person. From that very first time lying, there was an interruption in the relationship. Lying is dangerous, but we use it all the time. Shel Silverstein reflects on it by saying this. If you're not familiar with Shel Silverstein, he's a poet. Where the Sidewalk Ends, Falling Up, I recommend him. He's great. It's a kid's poem. He says this: tell me I'm clever. Tell me I'm kind. Tell me I'm talented. Tell me I'm cute. Tell me I'm sensitive, graceful, and wise. Tell me I'm perfect. But tell me the truth. So often, that's exactly how we live life. Oh, we want the truth. But we want to believe all the other things, too. And who's the number one person that we lie to?
Ourselves.
Stop the normal person on the street and you ask them, say, are you good enough to get to heaven? Oh, yes. I once helped an old lady across the street. I once saw a beggar and put a whole dollar in. I once did some good things. Oh, I may have lied and I may have done some bad things in my life, but they've convinced themselves that they're clever, graceful, and wise. And they tell it to themselves and treat it like truth. That's the danger of lying. Not only does it deny the truth, but it accepts a new one. And there's only one truth. It can't be two. You cannot have multiple truths. When you do, you have problems. So where do we get our truths? Where do we get our lies? Well, where we get our truth is another way that we play with it. The third thing I want us to see today is we play games with truth by choosing our sources poorly. When we choose our source poorly, we will get into trouble. In Proverbs 13, the writer says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of the fools suffers harm. Now, I don't know where you get your news, and it doesn't matter if it's CNN or Fox or ABC or NBC, but I will tell you right now, if you get your news from The Onion, be careful requoting it. For those of you who don't know what The Onion is a fake news agency. It's an internet sensation that kind of takes real stories and kind of twists them and makes them funny. Now, those of us who know that The Onion is fake, it's hilarious to see, you know, they'll take a caption or a picture of the president or a sports figure and they make some story up that really has nothing to do with the picture. The problem is when somebody quotes it. In the last election, that is exactly what happened. One of the presidential candidates quoted a news story accusing the president of something, not realizing that news story had come from The Onion. Made him look kind of foolish, and he ended up not being the candidate. So choosing your source is very important. Where we get our truth determines sometimes how effective we are. It says here that those who walk with the wise will grow wise, but those who counsel with the fool comes to harm. There has been a long time history of people consulting with fools and harm coming, but people treating it as though it's truth. I'll give you an example. From ancient time, there was a medical practice known as bloodletting. If anyone knows what that is, it's basically puncturing your body in different arteries around the body so that it would release blood. And the thought behind this from ancient times was, when people were sick, they knew that somehow that the body had the circulatory system, and they thought, well, if I got the blood out, it would get the poison out. Kind of like if you're bit by a rattlesnake, you're supposed to suck the poison out. And they took it to the extreme. So if you had a head cold, it's because you had too much blood. If you had an achy back, too much blood. One of the most famous stories of this was George Washington had a sore throat. And they actually let out about 2 quarts of his blood. And he died 3 days later of a sore throat. He died because he let all his blood out. But because the doctors at the time thought that was because of the sore throat. Well, bloodletting went on for thousands and thousands of years, as far back as the Greeks and the Egyptians and Mesopotamians, like all the way back. The practice continued around. And I found this interesting was that eventually surgeons started doing the practice of internal medicine, and the bloodletting became the practice of a group of people called barbers. I did not know that. So when we see a barber, which we don't see these too often, very often, but for those of us who maybe remember this, back in the day when barbers would have barber poles out and they had the red and white stripe, the red was to let you know that they were a bloodletter. The white was the gauze that they would tie around the arm. And the pole represented the bar that the person would hold in their hand to squeeze so that they would cause the circulation to increase. So when you go get a haircut and they nick your ear, just saying, it's an ancient tradition. He's just doing what barbers do. But an interesting thing about it is that until the 1800s, until the 19th century, when finally internalized medicine and the study of science and germs and what circulatory systems really did, for over 4,000 years, if you asked a doctor, what should I do, they would tell you the truth. Bloodletting is the way to go. You see, when you get your source from fools, it does harm. How many countless thousands or millions of people died because of this quote-unquote truth that the medical profession hung on to? Until reality kicked in and the understanding of real truth, of microbes and invading little things that come into your body called germs and antibodies and all that good stuff. As a matter of fact, now they realize it's not taking blood out, it's putting blood in that helps so many people. Where you get your truth is important. Be careful. One thing I will tell them, the one thing I will tell you about the bloodletting is that they had something right. It is about blood. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. Back to Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world through one man. But Romans 5:19 tells us this, for just as though the disobedience of one man there were made many sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. There is one source of truth, and it can't be played with. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Next week, I want to talk about that even further. But this week, I want you to reflect on this. Have you been playing with truth? Have you taken things that are godly or righteous and twisted them? Oh, it's okay that I do this over here. It's okay if I say I came in 15 minutes early to work, or I worked an extra half hour later when I really didn't. They're not going to miss that ream of paper from the copy machine. Guys, when we twist truth, when we play games by lying, when we seek things out besides Scripture to be our source of real truth, we're playing games. And it's a very deadly one. So this week, let me challenge all of us, myself included. Start keeping a record of the little things that we tick off. Maybe a little lie here, a little lie there. A little twist of truth. Consulting with people you know to be foolish and using their advice instead of what you know to be true. And start confessing that to God, turning it over to Him, challenging yourself to not play with truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you give us truth. That truth came in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. For those of us who claim that truth and hold to it and are embedded in that truth through his death and burial and resurrection, we praise you and thank you. And God, I just pray right now for those in this room who have not accepted that truth. They're still looking to the world. They're still looking to the media. They're still looking to philosophers and the quote-unquote wise men of this age to tell them the truth when you have so plainly given it to us. I pray that that truth is revealed in their hearts and that they accept it. Help us all to seek you, be like you, not a liar, not a twister of the truth, but a proclaimer of the real and only truth, your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.